Welcome to The Warcast, your geopolitical briefing that tells you what you need to know, when you need to know it. The Warcast is for War on the Rocks members only. Spread the word and tell your friends and colleagues to sign up at warontherocks.com/subscribe.
Last Saturday, India canceled a rare high-level talk between foreign ministers with Pakistan, one that they had just confirmed one day prior. Indian Foreign Ministry stated its decision was to protest the killing of Indian security personnel in Kashmir, as well as protest a Pakistani postage stamp it said was glorifying an anti-India separatist who Indian officials killed in Kashmir back in 2016. Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan scoffed the decision, calling India arrogant on Saturday for canceling. Joining us is Samir Lalwani, Senior Fellow and Director of the South Asia Program at the Stimson Center in D.C. Samir, can you tell us what you see here as the rationale behind confirming the meeting and then canceling it?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, I think it's been a puzzle scratcher for colleagues and myself. I think there's three candidate explanations, and I'll just walk through them briefly. The first is that it was just a mistake that the Indians said yes, and they realized, oh, actually, they don't really want to do this, and then turned around 24 hours later and said no. Sometimes that things like that happen, wires get crossed. It doesn't seem like that is most likely, but it might have been more, rather than a mistake, a reevaluation of sort of the incentives. So the second possible explanation, this is like a political move that India said yes to Pakistan, but then decided to snub them sort of the next day and remind the world of why they're snubbing them, which is Pakistan has, you know, offered support for Buran Wani, who was a terrorist in Kashmir who Pakistan believes was a freedom fighter. It's debatable whether he even actually committed any military acts, but nevertheless, it's something that really rankles us in the Indian political community and was something that they could sort of get some good political bump from, as well as just general support that Pakistan provides for the Kashmir, you know, low-level support for the Kashmir militancy, even though there's a lot of domestic elements to that. The third possibility is that, you know, the Pakistani prime minister, this could have been sort of an international gesture or sort of a targeting an international community audience by saying, look, the Pakistanis have offered this because there's a new prime minister there, even though the Indians don't really think it's credible or the right time for this kind of conversation. Nevertheless, they'll try to make a gesture in response, it's positive because the international community always wants to see India do more with respect to Pakistan and to engage both the United States, but also sort of other international observers, interlocutors are always concerned that there should be more dialogue between India and Pakistan, given the risks that are involved in that tension. So it was meant to appease that, but at the same time, turn around and say, you know, to the rest of the world, actually, we're really not going to do this because, again, the concerns about terrorism that we believe emanate from across the border and the sort of the explicit endorsement of, you know, a so-called freedom fighter who we believe is an actual terrorist. So all these are might be sort of sending signals to different audiences. And there are, you know, a lot of calculations involved. But it's really kind of bizarre that it was this quick a turnaround.
There's some discussion about, so you mentioned multiple audiences, there's some discussion about the proximity of India's national elections that may have been some kind of factor. So to what extent do you think that domestic audiences mattered in this decision?
Yeah, I think it's a very, very good possibility this was what loomed in through the decision-making process of saying yes and then no so quickly. Yeah, there are national elections coming up next year. In roughly sort of May of next year, but approximately around that, it's not fixed. But this year, there are actually some elections coming up in the next 2-3 months. But between November and January, there are three major state elections that are coming up that are strongholds for the BJP, the ruling party. And these state elections actually tend to be bellwethers for a national election. India has sort of like rolling set of state elections that are ongoing throughout. That they're not sort of aligned with each other, so you can have state elections spread out over this 5-year term. And in this case, you know, these three upcoming elections are quite important to them because if they have some momentum going into the national elections, they expect to fare really well. But if they have setbacks in these state elections, it could be quite problematic for them nationally. And so in these state elections, you know, these are BJP bases. they have done really well playing up the identity politics card, sort of Hindu identity, Hindutva identity, in opposition to a particular minority groups, particularly Muslim minority groups. This played well in their election cycles in Gujarat and Uttar Pradesh recently. And it's something that they like to play repeatedly. It works well for them. And being against Pakistan or coming out and shaming Pakistan, calling them out, humiliating them, whatever it may be, this is good BJP politics. It plays well to their base and gets out the vote. So there's very much probably a domestic political calculus in play here.
Is there any kind of factor about the character of Imran Khan himself, his rhetoric and his proclamations? Is this impacting Indian diplomatic engagement at all?
It's hard to tell. On the one hand, I think Imran Khan surprised a lot of people with his seemingly conciliatory gestures from his first speech that he made after winning the prime ministership, and sort of subsequent statements he's made, at least with regards to international relations and with regards to India. He made this statement that if you take one step forward, we'll take two steps forward, as sort of this asymmetric reciprocity that Pakistan's willing to take on. And it's interesting that he would say this because he is known to be, historically hawkish, or have sort of like some leanings. One of the nicknames that was assigned to him was Taliban Khan, less about his attitudes towards India, more about sort of his support for negotiations with the Taliban. But also the fact that, he rose to his position as a prime minister, in part due to some interventions by the Pakistani military to back his candidacy in various ways, both many years prior as well as during the elections. So the fact that he is, considered to sort of be partners with the military and then was willing to sort of make this gesture, in some ways, I would think makes his gesture more credible, right? In the past, there's always concern that the prime minister is speaking, but the military is not really backing it, and they would, in fact, scuttle any efforts at some sort of outreach to India or a modus vivendi. In this case, it's all but likely that the prime minister, Imran Khan, couldn't have made this gesture or this outreach without, at least some sort of de facto permission from the military. So it probably, whether it's merely a gesture and merely rhetoric or whether it was actually substance behind it is yet to be determined. But it is surprising then that that India turned around and decided that this was not sort of in their interest. Now, there's a domestic political calculus that might have said this is bad timing, this is bad politics. But in terms of, I think it's hard to impugn that the gesture was probably had some backing by the state as a whole.
In your view, does this in turn help Khan's domestic agenda? We're talking about domestic politics for a moment. I wonder about the Pakistani side. Is Khan's agenda going forward, is that influenced at all by this?
It probably not much. He's got sort of, he just come into office. He's got some very near-term agenda items. One of them is sort of an looming economic crisis, a balance of payments crisis. So there's sort of consideration of who Pakistan is going to go to for loans, potentially the IMF. But they're also sending, outreach feelers to Saudi Arabia and China as well for additional loans to support sort of the debt payments and debt financing. So that's probably one immediate material agenda item. He's got a domestic reform agenda, which, we can debate sort of what the reforms actually involve, but he seems very concerned about, material welfare reforms for the general population, particularly sort of poor and underprivileged and underclass. So these are sort of controlling a lot of his agenda. And then also sort of, a lot of still continuing, almost like he's continuing a campaign. He's an elected populist, and populists have a hard time stopping the campaign. They tend to sort of want to keep on campaigning because it's good. That's sort of what they've grown accustomed to doing. So still tilting against the old government and the old sort of political party that was previously in power rather than moving on. So I don't see a lot of attention being paid to India. His response actually to India's snub was quite muted, surprisingly. It was something about, how India's behaving very arrogantly and sometimes there are small men in sort of big seats, and left it at that. I think if he and the Pakistani military and others in Pakistan really wanted to escalate things, they had ample opportunity to, and they seemed to pass on it probably because there are other more pressing agenda items on their plate.
Thanks, Samir, for getting us up to speed. Well, that wraps up this episode of The Warcast. We'll be back soon.